Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins. I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy, and as always, we're going to have yet another amazing show. We have taken time this week to discuss everything that's going on in Charlottesville, Virginia. We have had our on-the-ground team, our representatives, on the ground in Charlottesville, Virginia, letting us know the word on the street. Our representatives have been a bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me, and they are joining us again today as co-hosts. So we are going to bring them on the show as co-hosts, but we do have some special guests today, and our special guests are people who are not only talking about what's going on, but people who are actually making a difference. So one of the things I want to make sure that everybody does before we go too much further into the show is please post the show, tweet the show, let people know that Changing the Conversation is live on the air right now. So let's take a few minutes to post it to our social networks, text your friends, because this show, like every other show, is just amazing and we don't want anyone to miss it. Now, if you are listening on the line and you want to join the conversation in the Punch Bowl, we see you on the line. We appreciate you on the line. But if you want to join the conversation and jump in to the Punch Bowl with a question or a comment that you have, please remember to press 1 so we know you want to join the conversation. If you're listening to this show live on your computer, you want to jump into the Punch Bowl, give us a call at 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. Now, we have an amazing show lined up for you today. So what I want to do, I do not want to take as many commercial breaks as we normally do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop right now briefly before we go too much further in the show. We're going to stop for a commercial break, and then we're going to be right back.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promise you that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com.
If you're just now tuning in to Changing the Conversation, we are going to have an amazing show today. We have some special guests, but before I bring in our special guests, let's bring in our co-host. Do we have a bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me on the line?
Oh, yes.
I got nervous there for a minute. She said, oh, yes. How are you, a bottle of you for me?
I'm doing great. I have been really enjoying myself. I've really been enjoying talking to people. It's amazing. I've been enjoying sharing the Punch TV information and Nabuki. So this has been just a great experience for me all the way through.
Okay, so we want to know how is it? I know you're back home. You're no longer in Charlottesville, but do you have any updates or any information, or have we missed anything since yesterday's show?
Not that I know of. I was looking to see if Mr. Henry was on the line, but no, not that I know of too much. The last day we were there, everything pretty much was trying to turn back to regular. Most of the outsiders were outside of the city, so the people felt a lot more secure.
No, you were waiting for Mr. Henry on the line. I'm not sure I can see. Is there a Mr. Henry on the line?
I am here.
Mr. Henry.
You. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. Any updates, anything we should know what's going on in your world?
Well, I learned that I no longer can draw.
What
happened?
Out
my big toe. I found out my big toe has narcolepsy.
Okay.
Don't believe it. I told him that's why God gave him other toes, so he could keep going.
It's from the long drive down to Charlottesville. Your toes are
falling
asleep.
Yeah, I didn't know my big toe had narcolepsy. Found that out last night on the way home.
Well,
you know, I'm just joking.
I am so just joking. But yeah, as far as Charlottesville, it was definitely a huge change. It was more like I remember when we finally did leave town yesterday. After which I did some videos, some posting the Nabuki, just kind of showing the outer area of Charlottesville, the beautiful mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah Valley, Skyline Drive, that goes all the way down to the North Carolina Mountains in Tennessee, next to the Cherokee Reservation. So Charlottesville is nothing but a beautiful place, and when those folks came in and did what they did, they created an interruption in prosperity and peace, and that's not what we stand for.
As a matter of fact,
what do we stand for?
Well, we stand for freedom. We stand for our country. We stand for the red, white, blue, not orange. I just truly believe that this situation in Charlottesville, as I stated yesterday, should have and should continue creating a spark in the White House, in Congress, until they can actually sit down. They can't figure out a health care reform bill. They can't figure out anything else. Maybe they can figure out this question about our country and race and what we can do to prosper for a better future together.
I definitely agree. That's why it was so important to me. You know, there are so many people who all they do is talk. They talk and talk and talk. They talk the talk, but they do not walk the walk. So I had the honor and the privilege of being introduced to Ms. LaDiamond Mosley. And her organization, the Freedom Rider Teachers, is actually walking the walk, instead of just talking the talk. So what we're going to do is bring Ms. LaDiamond Mosley and Ms. Tiffany Jacobs on the line from the Freedom Rider Teachers Organization and let them tell us a little bit about what they have going on. Ms. Mosley and Ms. Jacobs, are you with us this morning?
Yes, we are.
Good morning.
Can you tell us a little bit, just go ahead and introduce yourselves, introduce your organization, because it was very important for me to have you on the call. We have every day this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we have discussed what's going on in Charlottesville. And one of the things that we discussed this week is that even though this is happening in Charlottesville, this is just a reflection of what's going on in the United States. So what do we as a people need to do in order to change our country, change our youth? And I know you're really focused on the youth. So tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Absolutely. My name is Tiffany Jacobs, and I am actually an original freedom writer. And so when I was 14 years old, I wrote my story in this book that I thought would go nowhere. And it ended up turning into a movie, and that movie turned into our Freedom Writers Foundation, where we started this organization to be able to do just that, be able to help teachers relate to their students, especially those that have no idea about what that child might go through before they even walk through their doors. I do want to extend my deepest condolences to the Hayer family and all those that was injured in the Charlotte community. It is such a tragedy, but it's something I believe that it was coming to a head. It's necessary to see so that we all cannot brush it under the rug, and we can all not say that everyone's pulling the race card when these things are in our lives on a daily basis, and it's a struggle for so many people to walk out of their door and not be able to connect with their community because their community doesn't connect with them. And so with the Freedom Writers teachers, I'm so proud to have been a part of training over 550 teachers around the world that are teaching the Freedom Writers methodology. And that methodology is to be able to build relational capacity with your students, create a safe haven that they're able to go and be themselves, learn about others and each other, because one of my dearest friends is Renee Firestone, a Holocaust survivor, and that was the most important moment in most Freedom Writers' lives, was learning about the Holocaust, learning about those injustices that happened to people, learning that their whole families were ripped away from them and were tortured and displaced and starved. And so, I mean, we cannot go backwards in history. And so the Freedom Writers have taken it upon ourselves to kind of have a revolution for education so that, you know, it's harder to shoot someone if you know them. And so with the Freedom Writers, we have a teacher training program here in Long Beach, and it's 5 days it's an emotional roller coaster, but we really dive into those sensitive subjects. We, you know, rip the veil off and show our true color so that we can understand one another, so that we can be able to change our communities.
Okay, but you, I mean, listening to you, I am proud of what you're doing, but I also want to give our listeners a little bit of background. Your movie, your story has been recognized from everyone, from Oprah to CNN to The View to Good Morning America and Primetime Live, just to name a few, because, again, you are not just talking the talk. You are walking the walk, and you have, with your organization, been able to change the lives of over 450,000 students.
Absolutely. Wow. And, you know, when we took our name Freedom Writers from the original Civil Rights Activist Freedom Writers, we didn't take it in vain. We knew that would mean that we would have to not only own our own stories, own the stories of our community, to really build the bridge that's necessary to create peace in a classroom, to create peace in a household, to understand your worth and achieve all of your goals, no matter what they may be.
Okay. So we're going to hear a little bit from Ms. Jacobs.
Oh, no, that
was Ms. Jacobs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ms. Jacobs is actually the original Freedom Writer, and my name is Lynn Diamond Mosley. Hi, everyone. And I serve as the communications director, where I do, like, liaison in between the community and the foundation. And in this capacity, I've learned so much in only such a short amount of time. However, my background is in nonprofit management and urban planning, where I dive into the day-to-day challenges that are faced not only within the community, but specifically the Black community, which is near and dear to my heart. And working with Freedom Writers Foundation, we see these challenges every day. when we host our institutes, it's not only with the students that we connect with, but also with the teachers. And every single day that there's someone that we can touch and get closer to, and that's really our goal. And we do this through also not only the institutes, but also back-to-school events where we go to these high schools, we speak with the teachers, we have one-on-one dialogues to see exactly what the problem is, what the challenges are, and how we can create solutions. And right now, we're actually implementing a back-to-school event, Compton and Inglewood areas, which is another great proud moment for us because these school systems are facing a high school dropout rate like no other, and they're in Los Angeles County as a whole. Compton and Inglewood are the two main cities that are having these type of issues that are at the root is social injustices. So we're on the front line, head forward, trying to create solutions and make sure that no voice is gone unheard.
Okay, so let me ask Ms. Jacobs a question, again, being the founder. I always like to talk about people who actually walk the walk. Because we have so many guests on the show who, you know, tell us their experiences, what they go through. They tell us about the problems that they see in the community. But what was it that made you actually decide to create your organization as, and do something about it? As opposed to, you know, there are so many people who can tell you, you know, exactly what is going wrong with the world. They know exactly what's the problem. Kids don't do this. Teachers don't do that. Nobody does this. Nobody does that. But they don't necessarily want to do something about it. Or even if they want to do something about it, they do not take that action. So what made you say, you know what, hey, I have to do something. I have to be a part of the solution and actually create an organization that helps?
Absolutely. For sure. Well, for starters, although I'm, you know, I would consider myself successful now. I've graduated with my master's and I've traveled the world. But prior to that, I came from a very broken home with a drug abuse father, a mother who not only did drugs once upon a time, but sold drugs as well just to keep a roof over our head. And as the only person to graduate high school at the time in my family within four generations, it was only because I had access to a program that believed in me, a teacher that inspired me. So after graduating high school and going to college, I felt a sense of obligation to give back to the communities and to schools that that student is just like me, that student has a story just like mine. And without someone in place or a program or a pathway to overcome these struggles, sometimes you can never make it out. It's truly a jungle. If you don't have a survival instinct to make it out, you won't. And when you're in a place where you don't know anything but gang violence and drugs, it's so easy to choose those kind of paths if there's no light at the end of the tunnel for you. So it was because of the Boys and Girls Clubs and my brother and big sister's programs that I was able to find a mentor and find someone who instilled values in me. And that's ultimately the reason why I chose to work with the foundation, because they believe and we share the same affinity for progression and inspiring. But I've been to jail. I have my brothers incarcerated right now for murder. And my family, I have drug abuse aunts that are still on drugs today. So I not only identify with the story, I am the story, and I'm a living example of how you can overcome if only you could believe in yourself and someone can take this a little bit further.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I have some questions that just came to mind that I definitely want to ask. But we do want to go ahead. We have a caller on the line who has a question for you. Do you mind if we take a question or a comment from one of our callers?
Of course.
Caller, you're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment for the lady?
Yeah, my question is, I heard you guys talk about the problems in Inglewood and Compton, but in my mind, like, how do we bring change as far as social injustice, and how do we allow the youth to be able to grow up and have promising dreams and believe in themselves and to want to go to college, to want to go to school? You know, what do you think we need to do as a community to make those changes happen?
What Ms. G did for my class, I believe, was gave us time and opportunity. You know, she introduced us to so many things that was outside of the normal school book. She to go out and by Alice Walker's book, The Color Purple, and by different books that would relate to us, that we could have a conversation with, that we could identify with, and taking us out of our comfort zone, taking us out of our community to show us that the world is bigger than us. And as a community, it's up to us to become the role models that these kids see. You know, they're not just quiet on the streets. They're observing us. They're observing how we move. They're observing if we go to work. They are observing if we treat each other with respect. And that in a community is cyclical. It just the cycle of poverty, that cycle of destruction will always be there if we don't step up, you know, to be the quality human beings that we know we can be. As a freedom writer, when we were in room 203, it was such a safe haven because we could take off our shoulders, we could be ourselves, we could be embraced and feel included and feel welcome, something that we never felt before. And it's up to a community to actually be a community. Freedom writers overcame struggles as so many people did, just as Diamond just explained she did. Parental neglect, abuse, poverty, homelessness, teen pregnancies, gangs, you name it, it was in that 150 kids. And we were able to identify with ourselves in order to help our community and expand a reach farther than I could have ever imagined. I mean, 550 teachers are around the world helping people, helping teenagers get to know themselves so they can make a better community for themselves when they grow up.
I also think that we're living in a time where social media and music and just mass media controls our minds. And a kid is more prone to listening to what they hear on a radio every day besides what they'll hear from their parents walking out the door. So it's up to our households to ensure that we're controlling what our kids see. My son is 3 years old, and he literally asked me, "Mommy, did the police kill us?" Blew my mind. I'm like, "What? Like, how do you know this?" And I teach my son about the rhetoric that's happening. I teach my son the narrative that I want him to learn, because sometimes in the school, a student may not get the essentials to help them grow up and understand the world around them. So as parents, it's our job not to rely on the school system and not to rely on just other people to teach our kids, but it goes hand in hand. Just as there's a curriculum at school, there also has to be a curriculum in the household to make sure that your child is on track in that direction that you want him and her to go in, and making sure that we're being responsible and we're being accountable for not only ourselves, our households, but our kids when they walk out the door. As you can see there, when you turn on the TV, you see right now KKK written all over the TV screen. If you're 30 or older, you may know what that is, but the millennials and the kids behind us, they have no idea. So it's really up to us what message we're sending and keeping them abreast of the world around them.
Absolutely. Become desensitized so much.
I do have a question for you, ladies. In lieu of the recent events in Charlottesville, one of the things that I seem to be getting from people is this unannounced fear. It's a secret fear that perhaps the KKK is lurking in the corners, and they're teaching our kids, and they're the doctors to our kids, and they're all the bus drivers. And with these groups and their superiority complex, if they're in close proximity to our children daily, how do you feel the kids would pick up on that feeling less than with these teachers that have obviously felt secure enough to march in a KKK clan? How do we combat the racism that our kids may have to deal with from these secret KKK teachers? And reverse the fact that they may feel a little less superior in classroom because of the fact that their teacher may have this secret, you know, feeling about himself and his race.
Well, I think that's why diversity training is so important, and that's why we bring educators from all around the world to Long Beach to kind of hermetically seal them from the world, and they're in a Freedom Rider bubble. Because once you are alone and you don't have, you know, strength in numbers, whichever side it is, you're able to connect with someone on a different level. Those organizations and groups were there before this incident happened. They're going to be there after this incident happened. And it's up to us as parents and as teachers to help children to understand that while there is free speech, which makes our country so great, you know, it's up to us to be the people that we want to see in the world. It's up to us to create the community and be prideful of that diversity that you have. Because the world doesn't just look one way. You know, we just met an amazing woman, Daphna Zima, and she fought in the Senate about what it was to try to get more culture on the networks, because there's only a short few that owns what is presented, like Diamond said, on television, and we really have to control what our students and our children are seeing in this world to be able to help them understand and be able to cope with when something like this happens.
You mentioned the word, you said when they may experience racism, and that means that they could or could not. And as long as you are a minority in America, chances are at some point in your lifetime you will experience racism, whether it's nonverbal or it's outright or physical. You're going to experience some type of disparity amongst your community, amongst your professionalism, socialism, no matter which way you place it. When you're Black or Hispanic or you're a few in America, that's just the world that we live in. So it's really up to, like as Tiffany mentioned, it takes a village to raise a child, and that village being the parents, the teachers, and the community, and ensuring that we're doing the right thing, we're leading by example, we're loving our neighbors, we're instilling just cultural diversity and experiencing and exposing our students to not only the Black way or the Hispanic way, just really the world's way of the way that we should love and respect and treat one another.
Now, I have a question, and this is Sharifa Hardy, co-host of Changing the Conversation. I'm going to ask my question, but before I do, for people who are just now tuning in, we do have LaDonna Mosley and Tiffany Jacobs from the Freedom Rider Teachers Organization on the line. If you're listening on the line and you have a question, you have a comment, please press 1 to join the conversation in the punch bowl. If you want to just listen, that's fine, but we're having an amazing conversation. These are topics that we definitely have to discuss, so press 1 to join the conversation in the punch bowl. If you are listening to this show on your computer and you want to join the conversation, if you have a comment or a question for either Ms. LaDiamond Mosley or Ms. Tiffany Jacobs, the Freedom Rider Teachers, we have a bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me on the line. We have a caller on the line. We have a lot of people in the punch bowl this morning. But if you are listening to this show on your computer and you want to join the conversation, please give us a call at 657-383-1974. This show is so important that we're also going to take a limited amount of commercial breaks. We're going to discuss and talk and let everybody know what is going on, not only in Charlottesville, but our thoughts on what's going on in the world. Now, my question is, you mentioned it takes a village, and I saw this. It was actually a discussion on social media, and the discussion was, do people still feel that way? Because, you know, growing up, basically anybody on your street could basically would call your parents and tell your parents if you were doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing. You know, your neighbor might be able to spank you or put you in timeout years ago. But now in 2017, you know, a lot of people are like, don't talk to my child, don't speak to my child, don't, you know. It's more, I think, you know, some people may feel that we've gotten away from the it takes a village and more into the I'm doing this my way, this is how I do things, an individual aspect, as opposed to it takes a village. Can you give me your thoughts on that?
Oh, yes. I'm one of those parents that I'm like that with my child. My mom hates it. She feels like you're a new school mom and you have a different way of doing things. But when I say it takes a village, I mean it takes a community, and that means sending out the right message, ensuring that at school they're doing the right thing, at church, at home, and just not only just the parental side and just in our household, but making sure that the community at large is sending out the right message, and the television and the media is not just the teachings that I instill, but once he walks outside the door and I'm not by his side, what do you see? And I'm just making sure you see the right thing. And when you see the wrong thing, who's going to be there to save you? Who's going to be there to speak to you and talk to you and guide you through whatever type of distraction or situation that you're presented to, and making sure whoever is in that capacity, they are telling you the right thing. They're showing you the right way. So when I say a village, it's not just inclusive of our neighbor and just kind of the normal way in which we say that, but it means just all aspects of society, making sure that we are on the same page. And right now it's a division. And in order to create and unify us, it takes a matter of a dialogue like these to happen, and people to not only put their trust back into the school systems, but the teachers being proud of their work that they're doing and making sure we're all on one page. And it takes people to get out there to understand what's happening and stand in the forefront to even care. For example, when I was in high school, my mom, when I got in trouble, I remember I just went through a really rebellious stage, and my mom came to school with me for 3 weeks straight and sat in the desk right next to me every single day until I got my act together. But that took the principal to allow her. That took my teachers to say, you know what, you care, go ahead and come in this classroom. And that took my peers to not make fun of me and understand the respect of my mom that I have for my mother. So it took an understanding for a community to even allow that to happen. And you better believe I got my act together, but had she not done that and even cared, who knows the path that I would have taken. At that point, I was completely disconnected to my education, and I did not care. But my mom did, my teacher did, the principal did, and my peers did. So right, that was a village right there. That was five different connections from five different walks of life who understood the purpose of me trying to get myself together so I can graduate high school and go to college.
Well, your mom came to school for 3 weeks? Wow. Pardon? Like, I don't know. I said your mother came to school with you for 3 weeks.
Oh yeah, I was failing at that point, and I didn't have a reason why. She thought it was something, because I was usually a straight A student, and she thought it was something wrong with me. She thought I was being bullied or I was having some type of meltdown. So she wanted to dive into my everyday life, follow me around school, observe my surroundings, and see what the heck is wrong with you, where you think you're gonna walk in my house and bring me a 1.2 GPA. And since that
I like
day,
your model. I've never heard anything like that. I like that.
That is dedication. That's definitely dedication.
I gotta try that one to scare somebody.
So we too late for me, but all mine are grown.
We have Mr. Henry. You join the conversation, Mr. Henry.
I'm standing here stunned before I got my son in the car with me. Like, you gotta remember, I was raised in Brooklyn, New York. And there was many.
Your grandmother did that too?
No, my mother did. I was telling my son that his grandmother did it, which is my mother.
Oh, your mother did that too?
Oh yeah, she was in school quite often. I wasn't
my mom
always
called a drive-by.
Yeah, I wasn't always the best student. I did like to talk a lot in school, and draw and pass notes and all that good stuff. But yeah, when it got to the point where I was in fifth, sixth grade, middle school, there was times when my mother had to come to school with me, which it would upset me, and she knew it would upset me because folks really thought she was my sister and not my mother because I was taller than she was in most grades. And so I got picked on by the children there because they thought my mom was pretty and thought they maybe would have a chance to holler at her. And I'm like, no, that's my mom, not my sister. Did embarrass me enough to make sure I did the right thing. I mean, even when my children was in school, it was times that I would go to school, and I had my kids doing push-ups in front of the class. I mean, if you're going to act up, then I'm going to talk to the teacher while I'm talking to the teacher. You're going to come in front of the class and do push-ups, and now your students in the class know I don't play around. you know, and if I have to get one of their mothers or fathers to come in along with me because my child and their child is involved in something, that's what I'm going to do.
Amen. Absolutely. I also think it takes a village to watch the village with so many situations that happen, and you get to be untrustworthy. You get to be jaded in people. You get to not think that people would do the right thing. There's so many times growing up as freedom riders, you know, with my family as well, was a victim of domestic violence. And so many times I wish people would just call the police. You hear what's going on. You hear the screaming and fighting. You hear the crashing and the banging. You hear what's going on. Why aren't you helping? And so for me, the biggest lesson I learned being a freedom rider is that, you know, evil prevails when good people do nothing, and you cannot stand idly by when there's injustices right in front of your face. You cannot.
Amen.
You have to take a stand and bottle that fear up, because, you know, the meaning of being brave is doing something when you're scared, and knowing that you're doing the right thing will give you the push to really stand your ground and do what's right and what's necessary for the community.
Absolutely.
And teach our
kids
to be bully haters. You know, we always taught our kids.
I'm sorry, say that
we
again.
We taught our kids to defend the people who are being picked on. They defend the kids that are being picked on from bullies. If more kids to the bullies, they wouldn't be bullies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I saw this cutest Facebook.
I think
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think the lost art of spanking and acting is not been lost. I was thinking the other night on the way home that children that was raised in the 70s and 80s and became adults, people lived a personal life, and that they raised their children were concerned and responsible. That's it.
I think we're losing you, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, it's breaking up.
I'm back in my yard. Yeah, I'm back in my yard now.
Okay, we have you now.
I think that the process of punishment for children growing up here today is non-existent. You can't take somebody's phone or take somebody's laptop and expect their attitude to change or the motivation for life to change. This, I believe, like I said, in the 70s and 80s, was countered with those spankings. You know, I'm not saying for anybody to go out there and abuse their child. However, spankings work. I can recall where neighbors spanked. So when you went outside to play or to go hang out, you didn't just have your mom or your dad looking out for you. You had the neighbors. If they caught you doing something, you're going to get a spanking from them, and then you're going to get a spanking from your parents when they take you to your parents and tell them what you did.
You do, you know, but I'm also one of those parents where you know, my children are 20 and 23, and their whole lives raising them, the discussion I had with my mother was my mother was one of those people that said that our generation was more concerned about being our children's friends than being our children's parents. But all, you know, and I don't necessarily agree with that, because like I raised my children, and my children and I have a wonderful relationship today, and I always told them, you can say whatever you want to say. You just cannot say it however you want to say it. You have to be respectful, but I think when you take away a child's voice, especially a female child's voice, you take away their right to say no. So I wanted to have that relationship and that open communication. And I'm also one of those parents that actually, that's what I did. I took away my daughter's phone. When she was in high school and she started getting D's and F's, what I did was I changed her phone so she could call me and 911. That's the only two calls that she could make on her phone. So she had her phone, but I'm like, who else you need to call? Because you're obviously not talking about schoolwork, so what do y'all need to talk about? If you need me, you can call me, and if it's an emergency, you can call 911. But that was a psychological thing that I did to her, and I just did it like that. And even my friends was like, why you do that to that baby? When you gonna change it? And I just left it like that.
And I didn't even tell her how long I was going to leave it like that. And I didn't change it until she came to me and she was like, Mom, I'm going to fix it. I got my grades up. And she did the work. And I changed it so she could talk to her friends. But I wanted to make a point that if you go have a conversation, your focus should be on school and on education. And she got her grades up, and she kept her grades up simply because I changed her phone to only be able to call me and 911.
What I've learned, I was 21, I'm 28 now, I was 21 when I got parental custody of my little sister, and at the time she was 14. And she moved with me to, she moved from L.A. to Georgia to live with me. So my whole life I spent as your big sister. We can go get our nails done, we can hang out, we can go to the movies, I'm your big sis. Whereas when she came to live with me and I got custody of her, I'm now your parent. So that transition from me was like, I'm just 21, I don't even know how to take care of myself, let alone a whole teenage child. So my parental guidance, it just kind of developed by learning from my mom, learning from my family, and just kind of learning the best way. And what I learned was that when you kind of use reverse psychology on a kid or on a teenager, then that changes the dynamics. But I have to go from sister to parent in less than 45 days. And now when she first came into my home, she was failing. Now she's at Alabama State, about to graduate. She's a Delta. She's amazing. But it's because the things I instilled in her as her parent / sister, but not your friend. And it was because I didn't use the tactics of cursing and yelling and screaming and beating on you, because at the end of the day, I wasn't your mom, I was your sister. So I had to go outside of my own element and implement things that I knew would get to her, like taking her phone, instead of hitting her, making sure that she understood and having a real conversation of why did this happen, why do you feel that way. And from that, we got a deeper connection. So when I kind of stopped caring, I got a sense of, like, wait, what happened? Why don't you care anymore? So I would just suggest that instead of always getting angry or taking the road of just kind of, like, physical harm, because I know that's common for us to do, just getting an understanding and a connection and having a real-life conversation of how do you feel, how did that make you feel, and what can I do to help understand where you're coming from. Because oftentimes when they're teenagers, they're just still trying to figure out the world around them, let alone figure out the relationship between parent and child. So I would just suggest open communication and just being just open to hearing them out. And it doesn't mean that you're being their friend. It just means that you're trying to connect with them on a level that will just really strengthen and make a healthier relationship.
No, I definitely agree. I definitely agree, because what a lot of people don't understand is that anger comes from hurt. The root of anger is hurt. So if you have kids that are angry or acting out, you know, sometimes we go so fast to discipline. But, like, I got to meet your mother. Like, I'm in awe. I just want to be her friend just because she went to your school for 3 weeks. But the thing is, she did it in person because she wanted to see with her own eyes. She wanted to see herself. Okay, my daughter may not be able to verbalize. Because as teens, especially females, oh, yes, we're emotional, and all these emotions and things are going on. So you may not be able to communicate it. You may not be able to tell her, but she's going to go in there and say, let me see, let me look, let me see what's going on here.
Exactly.
And I love that. I think that's a beautiful thing. That's somebody who cares and wants to be, you know what's going on in your world. I love it.
Exactly. As a freedom writer, you know, I don't have kids, so I don't know what it's like to be so frustrated that, you know, you want to go to spanking your child. But as a child of abuse, I know that it's not as necessary as some people may think it is. I feel like kids are smarter than you think. If in their formative years they can learn multiple languages, you can have the patience to sit down with them to critically think out a problem so that they can come to the conclusion that you want them to come through. And it's about that creating that dialogue, like LaDiamond said, you know, through those formative years and creating a relationship of trust, but having the fear of God in you without violence. But as they get older, they would be able to respect you, be able to think critically, be able to do the right thing even when you're not watching. And that is the key, is to do the right thing even when you're not there.
So, you know, when I'm out in the with my friends and they're doing something I know we shouldn't be doing, in my head I'm like, oh, mama wouldn't like that. You know, I better get out of here. And so to have that in your in the back of your mind as you're growing up makes you help have make better decisions and be a decision maker is the quality and privilege of being an adult.
Right, but you got to be strong enough. And you can't have that pure pressure. I love what you said. But one thing I did want to point out was that you do have to be strong enough as an individual to not fall to that peer pressure. And then you have to have a safeguard in place that if that peer pressure does arise, you have someone to go to so that you don't go down that wrong road. Now, what I would like to advise, I really love this Freedom Writers Foundation you guys have. And, you know, and I'm just overwhelmed and excited about Punch TV. And because we've always talked about myself and my wife about trying to do something for the children so that they can be raised better, because sometimes it doesn't just take just the parent inside the house. It takes someone on the outside of the house to recognize that even that child is having a problem within the house. So a collaboration between Punch TV, you guys, and ourselves, I would love to try to address that problem and maybe create a pilot program that we can initiate maybe in elementary schools where it all first starts taking place. So as the time that they do get to mid school or middle school, high school, you know, they have another road or branch of help and assistance that they might not have otherwise had in Inglewood,
Absolutely.
California, Compton, California, Brooklyn, New York, Bronx, D.C., you know, and in a lot of the southern counties throughout the United States. The one thing I learned by traveling across the country and doing this thing for Punch TV, letting folks know about the $1 shares stock opportunity that Joseph Collins, put out there for him, was that even as I was talking to him out in the backwoods and in the country, they didn't know about stock, but they did know about guns, they knew about drugs and everything else. So they do get educated out that way, but there's not programs for them to be educated the right way. And
Absolutely.
So a collaboration between you guys, because I love the fact that you spoke to so many teachers. And like I said, that's exactly where it starts at in grade school. But if we could initiate between the teachers, parents, Punch TV, and you guys and come up with a nice pilot program, maybe have some nice rewards towards the end of the program or scholarships that can help these children not only do well in school, but when they get out of school during the summertime, they need something to do. They can utilize that reward.
Yes.
Then, hey, I did such and such, and I earned this, so this is where I'm going this summer, whether it be an internship over at Punch TV or going out on the road
Absolutely.
With you guys and talking to folks in schools so they can see for themselves the impact that you guys are having.
Excited about our teacher training program. You know, it started in 2006 with 16 teachers, and now we have over 550 around the world teaching the Freedom Writer methods in their classroom. And it has changed the game with those teachers. They go back actually healed in their past issues enough to learn and understand about a child that is in front of their classroom for 40 hours a week. And so it is such a dynamic program. They come back, the teachers say, for a kid that they never got to read all year, finally they're reading. For a kid that was so withdrawn and just, it's just so, you could see the depression in them, so sad, and they didn't talk all year, and finally he spoke because she showed the Freedom Writer movie, she read the book, she incorporated the activities she learned from the Institute, and now they're reading, and now they're writing, and now they're actually relating to them enough so that they listen, and it's amazing. We're actually changing it from, we have at least two teachers in every state, all the provinces in Canada, and almost over seven continents, which is amazing. But now we're changing the format to do district-wide institutes. And so we're actually doing one this Labor Day with just the Moreno Valley School District, which is absolutely amazing. The superintendent became a Freedom Writer teacher about a few years ago, and then he's slowly incorporated the methodology within the school district, and now he's creating a district-wide. So elementary school, middle school, high school, administrators, counselors will all come to Long Beach and learn about how to relate to your kids and go back to their communities and just
we hope to just see that change, see them want to be engaged, enlightened, and empowered to control their future and control their education.
I just want to say thank you, because I'll tell you right now, a little biased, a little tad bit biased, because both of my children graduated from Cabrillo High School in Long Beach. I live in Long Beach. My nephew, my sister, my brother, my sister's husband, so many people I know graduated from Poly High School in Long Beach. So, you know, everything that you're talking about is up close and personal to me, since Long Beach is my hometown and where I live.
The LBC, okay.
Hey.
Yes, it is. So I definitely want to, take them.
I would also like to advise is that from my military service, one of the things I did realize when I was in, there are all bases, every single base does this. All you have to do is contact the commander of the base for the assistance. But you wouldn't understand how they could really help you out in this particular situation, because you can't get all over the United States to let everybody know. But if you contact the bases within certain areas, they work out in those communities. They have programs where they go into the communities to try to help out. And not only that, it'll also take it back to those service members' hometown, no matter whether they're from Iowa, New York, or Montana, you know, Wisconsin. Military service members are from all over the country. And when they are involved in these particular events around their base, it does get back to their hometown, because they call home and they tell their family what they're doing. And so it can spread that way as well, by utilizing the military all over the country.
Absolutely, I agree. It can, there's so the opportunities are endless when it comes to connecting each other so that we can understand each other. We did we called it a shield, and creating your own personal shield. And we always put a motto at the end. And one of the teachers in this last institute, she said, you know, God made us different so that we can get to learn about each other, not to force each other away or stay in our own silos. And, you know, it's about us learning each other and being able to communicate. You know, there was a time where nobody spoke the same language and we had to be able to communicate. And so I'm just super honored to be able to connect with your community and, you know, even further our cause and build an educational platform that is best for really what's important, which is the students.
Well, I want to formally invite you out to the East Coast. I know you're doing so much on the West, but if you guys could manage to get to the East Coast, we have two very close areas close to us, and we have an area that's known as Hampton Roads, which pretty much encompasses Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Suffolk, Chesapeake, Williamsburg, Newport News, Hampton. It's a very large area, and it's city/urban. You know, it's really suburban areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we happen to live not even 2 miles outside of Suffolk in North Carolina. And when we moved out here with our children, we were homeschooling our children, and we felt like it was a very safe county, and it really is. But the children out here have never seen elevators. A lot of them have never seen stairs. They've never left the county. I meet 40-some-year-old women. I meet 50, 60, 70-year-old men. Never left this county. And this county is very, very, very close to the big areas. And I don't understand it. But these children have little or nothing to do out here in this county. And something like that would really make a huge difference. We have 4-H out here. We have Miss Connie. And 4-H out here, she has done some miraculous things over the years. But the budget's been cut through the years also. So they can only do a lot fewer things than they used to do back when my kids were in school. I have a 27-through-20-year-old. We have 7 kids. They're all 27 through 20. And, you know, they're not able to use these resources. But these children, they really need someone like you. So I'd like to formally invite you, ladies.
Oh, that is an amazing invitation and opportunity, and I'm actually our program coordinator for our teacher trainers, so it's my job to vet the teachers and get them applications and build the program around the community that needs it, and we actually do get to the East Coast. One of our cohorts is in Springfield, Massachusetts, and we have a very supportive a superintendent in Westmoreland, New York, who has it's very rural area. It sounds kind of similar. They have one of the largest refugee populations, and so they have nothing really to engage those kids. And he has continuously sent teachers to our institute throughout the year, and it made such a difference. And then when the teachers become Freedom Rider teachers, we send Freedom Riders to them to really tell their story and show that, you know, the role models that they are, success is possible when you grew up with nothing. So I would love to connect with you, and, you know, offline we would definitely coordinate an amazing opportunity for Hampton and Virginia Beach community.
I'm going to start the research on it today.
Absolutely. So what we do is we connect on Nabuki. Nabuki is our social media network, and Punch TV Studios created Nabuki so that you can not only follow what we're doing, but that we can follow what you're doing as well. So Nabuki is NABUKIE.com. We love for you to join us on Nabuki. A bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me basically own Nabuki. They manage Nabuki. They help us with the radio show. A bottle of youth, you definitely have to check out what they're doing. Make that your first friend request on Nabuki, so that way we can start the conversation on what everybody can do together to make this work. So what I want to do is, we have about 4 minutes left for the show. Ms. Jacobs, I just want to give you an opportunity to have a few final words for the show and let people know where they can find out more information about you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for giving us this platform and a voice to share what we do. We're always in the trenches, and so we don't always get enough exposure as a small nonprofit. We're small but mighty, so I really thank you for that. You can definitely check us out on Facebook. Follow us on our Facebook page, Freedom Riders Foundation. Like us on Twitter and follow us on Instagram. If you are a teacher and you would like to become a Freedom Rider teacher, you can email me directly at fwi@freedomwritersfoundation.org, and I will be the one to answer those emails and get your community around your support and bring you to Long Beach. It is such an amazing experience. We not only dive into those subjects that need to be spoken about, but we spoil our teachers right. And I'm just so, a lot of teachers tell me they don't even have a chance to eat during the day. During their planning period, they're stuffing, you know, grapes in their mouths before the class comes. And so we just want an opportunity for teachers to be a part of the community that gets it, that understands what they're going through. They can share lesson plans, whether it's from Rwanda to San Diego. And so I would love to be a part of building that community. And hit us up, show your likes on our Facebook page. We would love to really build our following.
Well, Ms. Jacobs, make sure you get your 45 free shares.
Absolutely.
Ms. Forget something about some free shares. Yesterday, I did not hear anything about it. I was out there talking to the citizens of Charlottesville. I didn't know anything about these free shares until I got home and listened to the radio show myself, and I had to jump on and help and do my links.
Yes, we are Punch TV Studios. We made the announcement yesterday. We're bringing it back today and let people know that there were so many people when we initially launched the IPO who weren't able to get in. And Mr. Collins said, I want millions and millions of people to be able to get in on the IPO. So he's given away free stock in Punch TV Studios. If any of our listeners, if you ladies are interested, you can visit our website at punchtvstudios.com. Thank you, Mr. Henry, for not allowing me to forget that. That's why I love my co-host, A Bottle of Youth. A Bottle of Youth for me, they're here to help support Prince TV Studios and everything that we do. Please visit the website, get your free shares, let everybody know about what we're doing here at Prince TV Studios. Join us on Nabuki. We will be back tomorrow the same time for our TGIF Friday show. Thank you all for joining us on today's episode of Changing the Conversation. And guess what? We are out.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on Changing the Conversation, visit Nabuki.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit PunchTVStudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.